thank God for having my family with me. My close friends with me who came up. This birthday with me, this 71st birthday. That's all. It's not the primary reason preaching the gospel to have people believe in God. It is the only reason.
All right.
And all the other things that come along with it, whether they be, you know, people, you know, you give them, the people will give, people will bless you, they'll maintain you and sustain you and all those things.
Right.
And God will bless you, and the Word of God says, "His riches increase, set not your heart when they."
That's right.
And if you really obey God and strong in God, then yeah, there's no reason why you won't prosper.
Yes.
You know, if you will obey God, because God, you know, God knows the way to prosperity, because
yes.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
And if you obey God, we have a lot of services from time to time, and we say, "People, you just need to come back because you need a blessing. You need to come." Well, you know, when we're in the blessing building, in the blessing business, there's not a night that you come that you ought not get a blessing.
Yes.
All blessings are not financial, but you ought to get something.
Yeah.
And there's some things that are so much greater. People are able to, you know, you make enough, if you work hard enough, if you're slick enough, or however it may be, you know, you might be honest enough and work hard enough, you can become rich in the earth, because people do it all the time.
Yeah,
the earth is them, really, rich in God.
Yeah.
But what you cannot work your way into is peace.
Yes.
That you cannot do.
Amen.
You cannot work your way into, an everlasting like that. You cannot do.
You cannot do that.
But that you absolutely must come to God. And
ooh, yes.
God is such a great God and such a graceful God. Loves us so much that I'm so glad that God is not a one-time shot.
That's right. Yes.
You know, where he gives you one opportunity and you either sign up or a three-time shot with God. There's no three strikes. You're out.
There's always another pitch.
Yes.
As long as you still have breath, the problem that comes about is you don't know when the next breath is your last one.
That's right.
And being a person who is full of health and full of everything else doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to live a long time.
Yes.
But God is not just, you know, God is, I want us to understand the difference between a warning and a threat. God never threatens, he warns.
Yes.
And he doesn't threaten you with being lost forever. That's not a threat, because God doesn't have to make threats.
No.
If he wanted you to have torment forever, he could just do it.
Right.
He warns that that's what's available because of a choice that Adam made in the garden.
Yes.
As opposed to choosing God, he chose to do something else.
Yes.
And anytime you choose not to obey, you choose to disobey, then you
yes.
choose whatever comes along with the disobedience.
Right. Yes.
And anytime you go out of that, out of the way of the Lord, you know, your disobedience and your wrongdoing, and it's not even, and people say, well, the Lord will meet you and God will draw you back. God has ways of drawing you back and winning you back, but your disobedience comes with its own chaser.
Yes.
And God has to step in and get you to the point where you realize you're not going in the right direction.
Yes.
So that when he turns you around, you can be on the road to recovery as opposed to being on the road to being destroyed.
Yes.
So I thank God today, but it is strictly up to you. And I'm going to talk about one word today that I was talking about a couple of Sundays ago. And if you tuned in a couple of Sundays ago, you heard me say, you heard this, and we'll talk about it again today. And God, from the time that we're born, I don't know how loud this is or how loud I need to be, but I'll try and slide down my time a little bit. Maybe it won't be quite as loud. Because I tend to get loud as we go to excitement. Turn to 1 Thessalonians Make sure that's the one that I want. I want to encourage everyone today in the Lord. We live by faith or by trusting in God. And the word of God comes. This is the reason why I want everybody in here, young people especially. We're not living. We are people who are living in a time. We're not people who are generations who are illiterate. We can read.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to read the word of God. Don't be afraid to not only do that, but to study and meditate the word of God, because the word of God itself instructs you to do that.
Yeah.
And cults are born when people are satisfied to hear one person's word and one person's interpretation of the word of God, which I don't have a problem with as far as doing that, because you need to be faithful to your pastor and you need to be loyal, but you need to keep your pastor in check by knowing what the word of God says. You know, there exists no pastor, no bishop, nobody I know, whose word should not be measured by the word of God.
Yeah.
There is anyone who says, you know, you don't need to hear anybody but me. I might not go to anybody else in church other than yours, but you're not going to stop me from checking you and making sure you're saying what they're saying.
Right? Yeah.
And anytime I get down to a point where I no longer, I lack the capacity or... And we want to say it in so many different ways. We get to the part where we are kind of lax. Really, we get to the part where we are lazy and not concerned enough to find out just what the Word of God says now. And don't be afraid to compare the Word, you know, the commentaries, and see what the Word means in the, you know, in the various languages, and see what the intent was. I'll give you a quick example later on. I was listening to Dr. Lucky, and she was preaching out of Corinthians a couple of weeks ago, and in Corinthians it talks about our body being the temple for the Holy Ghost, and it makes the point of he that is joined to a harlot, you know, has become that. And we, in our language, this is the scary part. You see, because in our day and time, words have a different meaning than they did then. And there are many of them. And she said she went and studied and looked up, and I did too. And when it refers to a harlot, it's not just referring to a prostitute. It's referring to any person that is unruly and out of the way.
Yes.
And it tells us that when we join ourselves to people who are unruly and people who are barbaric and those things, we become that ourselves, and nothing could be further from truth. Because if you only use the word to have that one meaning, you'll say, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
So for all of us, and we have these educations, why do you think the Lord allowed us to have them and to get them and to be where we are and where we are? Everything that we learn, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, and it has the reason and the capacity to turn you towards God, so that we ought not have to try and drive people to God. We're supposed to lead people to God. We're not supposed to be pushing and shoving and doing all those things and trying to make you live. If you can understand the gospel and receive the gospel and have the God I have, we don't have to make you come. We can't stop you from coming.
Yes.
So we look in 1 Thessalonians, and I love the way he put it, because ultimately, and I'm almost done, because the souls have to get on the road, and you know, and me and the force, we have to go back home and giggle. And we have something to do. So we've just had a great weekend. Got to get up and let them on the road before her eyes get too tired. So let's get down to 1 Thessalonians. And I just want to say it's good to have Sister Sturgis back from Panama, and you know, went down to Cartagena, and the drug cartels didn't sweep away. So, you know, God is just a good God. But we, listen, everyone. I want to put 1 Thessalonians along with John 7 and 37. And it's going to, and if you know John 7, 37, 39, it says, on that last great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me.
Yes.
And drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when we talk about out of his belly or his core, his being, we're not referring to the stomach, we're referring to the core of the person. Our spirit, we're referring to the part of me that makes me me.
Yes.
Identifies me not to you, identifies me to me and to God.
Yes.
There's a portion of me that you know, and there's a portion of me that I know that you don't know, and there's a portion of me that God knows that I don't know. If that portion, that out of that central person, in other words, it's not what I add on or what I learn to do. You know how actors and actresses can act the part of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph without ever becoming any one of them. We're not referring to what you can learn to do or how well you can church or how you know how to come and go out. It's the part of you, out of the part of you that is really you.
Yes, yes.
We find the real you. We were kind of talking about this one over the table, but about when people become older and they become unstable mentally. And a lot of things they say and do, it's in there. And when they can't control it, it flows.
Yes, yes.
And you get what they got because they are, you know, when they're in control of their faculties, they don't say a lot of things. But when they get old and kind of feeble-minded, if it's in there, it comes out.
Yes, yes.
And Jesus said when he was standing up, and for us, for most of us, when we talk about out of his belly should flow rivers of living water, we're always referring to gifts.
Yes.
But he's not just referring to gifts. That's part of it. Right. He's saying that when you, first of all, he says if any man thirst, not just if any of you talking to the people who were present at the time.
Right. Right.
And he, you know, of any of us, he says if any man anywhere, because on the last day of the feast, and they're closing it out, it's the day when they're going to make the atonement. It's when, and from now on, they're not going to have any sacrifices. It's Jesus.
Yes.
And he said from this part forward, and that's the reason why he says that this he spake of the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost had not been yet given, had not been given because he had not been glorified.
Yes.
He was referring to from this point forward, after this, you're not going to come with sacrifices of animals and bulls and goats. He says, and the reason why it says he spoke of the Spirit which was given after he was glorified, because after he's resurrected, there's the veil of the temple is rent. There's no more sacrifice. It's only him.
Him, yes.
And he's referring to, when he talks about it, he's not just saying, you know, that they're going to, of course, there's going to be gifts from the point of being prophets, teachers, apostles, and so forth. There are going to be gifts of the Spirit and so on. But he says in Corinthians, everybody doesn't have all those, because he says, do all prophesy, do all, and the list goes on. But he's saying everybody who comes unto him and drinks it, out of their belly should flow rivers of living water. In other words, my living water is not just my gifts and my healing or whatever. My living water is when we're upset with each other, my living water steps in and says, how can we fix this? My living water steps up when I want to be so angry and swept away with you, I don't want to have anything other than I think in my mind, you know, the last time I'm speaking, I ain't never going to have nothing else to do. And my living water starts to flow. And my living water, because I came unto Jesus, because I thirsted and I drank. And if any man comes to him who thirsts, who wants righteousness, who wants to be right, don't you get tired of being wrong? Know anybody who wants to be right, you come. He says, if you want to know the right way to do anything, if you want the right mind, the wrong right attitude, I'm so glad I'm old enough to know when my own attitude is the wrong attitude. Have you grown to the point yet when you know that your attitude is not right? And you can say to yourself, I need to make an adjustment. You know what I say? I need to get somewhere to set my old self down. And I don't need to say nothing else until I can kind of get right. Because I can sense that it's not just you who's on the, it's not just your foot, your shoe on the wrong, but it is mine. And I need to back up and make room for the living water to grow. It comes out of my forgiveness. It comes out of my allowing you to go on. I need, because he said, you know, if it was a point of only just being out of my belly flow living water, the only time it would flow is when I'm laying hands and healing somebody. The rest of the time, I'm not flowing.
Yeah, that's right.
No wonder I can be so holy, 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 and be mad for a year at somebody. You're not flowing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be. I'm supposed to be someone. Because he told them one time, I'm making the first Thessalonians, y'all better go to John 7:37. I'm supposed to be someone that Jesus told them in the 6th chapter of John. He says, you have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he's not being cannibalistic. He admits that you have to consume all of me. You can't have a lip. You know the song says, I need a little more Jesus. No, you need Jesus to breathe. I don't need a little more Jesus. I need a lot more Jesus. I need when the Holy Ghost comes. It isn't that he comes in part and one of us gets an arm and another one gets a leg and somebody gets a full Jesus and somebody gets a little Jesus. We all get the same Holy Ghost. It's how much he's able to flow out of you. Because he comes, and when he comes, he already said that if you will allow him out of your core, and you can't let him flow out of this core if he hasn't changed you into you see, because you can't put this on. I know when the Bible says one thing, he says that put on Christ, he's referring to you if he allows this. There's a big difference in learning how to act holy and being holy. I didn't, you know, it would have been different when Adam had fallen. If it had been a simple matter of Adam just doing sin, then Adam could have said, okay, God, I'm never going to eat from that tree again, and problem would have been solved. But what happened when he ate from that tree, it wasn't just an issue of what he had done, it was what he had become.
Yes.
When you tell a lie, whether you come back and correct it or not, fix it up, get it right, really right, but yet you are alive. Because you have told one. And it takes us beyond heaven to be able to be rid of it. Because when you repent, God does something we can't do. He blots it out, justifies it, takes it out of existence so that you can keep on going. But as long as we're earthbound, we can't get it out of our mind. That means that when I see you the next time, since I'm not God, and since I can't blot it out and unmake it like God, God doesn't just hide it. He gets rid of it. Remember, when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, he blots them out. He doesn't file them away someplace, because God doesn't need your past sins for you to be lost. The next sin you do if you don't repent is sufficient enough for you to be lost. He doesn't have to go back and dig up your history. Because when Jesus comes back, or when you see him, you have to be judged according to what you are now. It doesn't matter that I grew up in church and I was in a sunshine band. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back to see where I am now. If I die tonight and go before God, I go based on where I am now. There were Bishop Smith, you preached a lot of sermons. Yes, but where are you now? That's why they stand up in that day and will say, Lord, you know, we prophesied in your name. And people say they start lying. I'm not saying they lie. They probably did, but where are they now?
Where are we now?
You gotta make it. And so I need not to keep trying to act holy. I need to become. And since I can't make myself holy, then I need to come unto him and drink so that he will fill me with the Holy Ghost, so that out of my belly will flow rivers of living holiness. And when I start, there's only a trickle, but he wants a flow and a continuous flow. So he changes me, and every time he changes me to be like him, I'm drinking more and more of his son, and I'm becoming more and more like his son, and the flow becomes greater and greater and greater. Now either I can hinder the flow, I can decide I'm not going to let this go. I was telling my cousins, my friends, my grown-up buddies, we all know each other's family. I was telling them, one of my desires in life, I've told you too, because you already know, one of my greatest desires in life was to make my mother to be happy before she died. one way or the other.
Yes.
Just to be out from under the burden of all the guilt and things she's done in life.
Yes.
You see, because there's no burden or any guilt that you can do that the blood cannot wash away. There's no That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and you're burdened down. He said, I will give you rest. That rest comes when you drink of him. And he makes you shed your soul that everything you do, it rises. When Elder Sewell, Tony Sewell, comes to me and we can't agree, then out of our valley starts to flow rivers of living water. And somewhere in the middle, we can come to a point of peace. Because God knows how to give us peace. And this is the flow. We spend too much time saying that if the preacher didn't preach right, he didn't flow. If the choir didn't sing right, they weren't flowing. If nobody laid yelling alone, they weren't flowing. If nobody was healed, they weren't flowing. And you walk out after you call yourself flowing and doing everything like that. Don't speak to people. You're not flowing.
Amen.
I don't have, if none of us has time to come to Jesus on a day when he doesn't feel like being bothered.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus never did.
You got to make up your mind.
Yes.
Say that in 1 Thessalonians. I'm not going back there. I'm finishing. But the one verse, one word that he used, it says, Paul said, I see how you turn from my doctrine.
Yes.
To serve the living God.
Living God, yes.
I see how you turn. I see how you changed. I see how you became someone that before you were not. I see how you allow God to come in. Because when you drink of him, you allow God to come in. You can't act your way into eternal life. You can't serve your way into eternal life in that regard. You have to become like him. And we all are changed from glory to glory into the same image, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And you need to ask yourself, how much have I allowed the Holy Ghost to change me? And me as a preacher, preachers are always up preaching and trying to change everybody else. I can't change you anymore than I'm changing you. Don't you know that before the Holy Ghost gives you, before I give you the word the Holy Ghost gave me, he's already given it to me? If it hasn't changed me when it comes out, it doesn't flow out in life. I can tell you about it, but you won't get the life that's supposed to flow because it's me.
Yes.
I spend too much time in this building coming here to entertain people.
Yeah, that's right.
You got streaming services, TVs, and everything else you can name for entertainment. You know, that's good. When you come in here, we come in here for life. I want everybody in here for life. Listen to me. This is very short. I'm 71 years old. I might have 20 years left, and if God grant me grace, maybe 25, and I hope so, reasonable strength and strength of mind, but the reality is, at some point in time, I'm going to be Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And you are too.
Because
you're getting old, the same age I am. And we were wondering, how is it that we can do what we want to do when we can't get our children to do what we want to do? Because we're not flowing.
Yeah.
All right.
We're saying, and we're doing, and we're coming out of our mouths, and we're doing a lot of things, but our person, the me of me. The me of me, the me who is really me, is not the one, isn't the part that's changed like it's supposed to be. That's why the devil can always pull on it and influence it and tell it this and do that with it and do that with it. Do all these things with it because it's unchanged to the extent that it needs to be.
You're
I've been known for a very long time. Our families love one another. Never going to make her laugh. Never going to make me work.
Yes, that's right.
The person that I know,
that's right.
And the person that she knows, me.
Yes.
You cannot draw people to God by acting like you're holy.
Yes,
you have to
true.
Belong.
Yes.
There has to be a flow so that when I'm not in promise church, everybody's standing. When I'm sitting around the dinner table and I can laugh and joke and cuff like everybody else, and sometimes people can't take the humor.
That's right.
But our hope is never not a flow.
Yes.
The flow comes when you realize you've said too much and your humor has gone to the point of offense. And you don't say things like, oh, you can't take a joke, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. No, you don't say that. What you say is, oh, I'm sorry. You get up and preach something and crush everybody in the church, you come back and say, well, I preach what I preach. That ain't the Lord. It says you're supposed to make peace with everybody while you're in the way. Before I even leave the building, if I find out you're not, it was not right for you, I need to make my way to where you are. Because I'm flowing. And I'm not asking you to flow. When I get there, you might not even want to hear it. This might be your implicable day where you don't take anybody's apologies, but you are not going to stop me from blowing. Because it's not your belly that I have a responsibility for flowing out. It's mine. It's my person that you need to see. It's me. The me of me. Out of your belly. Well, to me it says out of your belly for a river with no money against me. Those two. Yes. But you don't have any gifts flowing if you are not flowing. What do you play? Anointing.
This
is what he means when he says, I come. The volume of the whole book is about me. The Genesis Revelation is about me. That's why you have to read the Word of God. And after a while, you come to a point where when people aren't reading the Word of God, they become redundant.
Yeah.
And there's more. Everybody listen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For saving my soul. Tell me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And we thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Everybody pointed themselves like this when you say me. Now when God how to make us happy.
Yes,
Lord, I thank you for bringing them back. Lord, that brings joy back to this church.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for my friends and cousins who are here. Lord, I thank you for bringing them this way because you have brought joy to my heart. I thank you for my family.
Yes.
All that are here, I thank you for having the Spirit of Christ with us today.
Yes.
In the celebration of your grace and your mercy. It's so good to have the souls with us today.
Yes.
All the people, Lord, for everyone, Lord, that I touch, everyone whose life touches mine. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless them and keep them. Lord, whether I've been for a short time or a long time, Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless them. Having had contact with them, Lord, because I know about them, Lord, I pray, Lord, you move. If they need healing, Lord, heal. They need deliverance, Lord, deliver. Lord, if they need things change, Lord, change. Lord, you're our advocate, oh God. You're on our side. Lord, move for us, oh God. Lord, we make a vow. Lord, we'll turn toward you. Lord, every time you tell us to turn, Lord, you said, and you know, you prophets, you said, if we would turn from our evil ways and seek your face, we'll turn. You, Moses went by the burning bush. You said, you turned to go see if you were there or not. And Thessalonians, he said, they turned. Lord, we'll turn. He said, Lord, I'll turn. Each time you move, Lord, I'll turn. I'll be the one who turns. I won't ask you to fit yourself around me. I'll fit myself in you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for any here today who's not saved. I'm going to tell you right now, heaven is real.
Yes.
And life is too short.
Yes.
Well, not really, because if you really want to rush on to heaven, longer than you need.
Yes.
But if you're not on your way to heaven, you can't guarantee it, then you need to be. This is where you come to find out whether or not you're going to be all right with God or not. And being among the righteous won't save you.
That's right.
Being among the sanctified won't do anything for you.
Yes.
You have to be, it's a very personal thing. I heard somebody who would like to make a mark about making Christ your personal Savior. That's exactly what you do.
It need to be, yes.
Not your general Savior, not your family Savior. He has to be your personal and me. My soul. There is no group salvation plan in God. The blood is applied individually to every one of us who will be in Christ. Yes, it is. You won't go up because everybody else does. You won't see Jesus if you lay down and die because your mama did. You gotta have Christ yourself. You have to make that commitment yourself. You have to turn yourself in. And that's what's so great about it, because the Holy Ghost comes to every one of us individually himself and works with us one-on-one. Isn't that nice? Yes, he does. He doesn't wrap me into a bunch with a whole lot of other people, because as much alike as I am, then in the same time, I'm awful unique. In God.
Yes.
Might be nano-microscopic, but God knows the difference between me and everybody else.
Yes.
And you have to come yourself. I pray that he'll just move on your behalf today. But now, Ruby, let me pray for you. Ruby. Ruby. Come, let me pray for you. right there where Don is. Let me tell you how often you come to my mind. I've rehearsed my prayer to you a million times. So why so? Because of what you've endured. And each time I've come to where you were, I thought if I had an opportunity to pray a prayer, I would pray for you. But I prayed for you from right here in this chair because of what you've endured. Then you need to know, as we all shine as lights, there are some people that are lights because they've never gone through anything. And then there are some people who shine as lights to God. Sister Callie's like that. She lost her son at 8 years old. He drowned. Some people are lights because of what they have endured. And they've held on to God regardless. And they've never thrown up their hands and said, "Why, God?" The Lord is blessing you. There's a blessing in being able to have peace after you. The Bible says it when you get home reading in 1 Peter. He says, after you have endured, suffered for a while, He'll strengthen you, He'll establish you, He'll settle you, and He'll make you perfect. Perfection means He brings you to maturity. He'll strengthen you, He'll establish you, He'll settle you, and He'll make you perfect. That means you get to a point where everything will be all right. And that's where you are. What else can you be? So I'm just going to pray that God will bless you with something special. I don't know what. How do you bless the people of God even more? But God knows. And whatever it is that you have and what need you need for God to move, might be with your cousin. But however you need God to move, God's going to move for you. Yeah. Just lift your hands. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, Thou knowest the things we go through, and Thou knowest the things Thou has in store for us, Lord, to bring us to an expected end.
Hallelujah.
Lord, the end that You have is peace, and it's grace, and it's mercy, and ultimately it's eternal life. Lord, along this way, Lord, there are those, Lord, who have never let go of Your hand. They might have been up, they might have been down, but they have never said there is no God. They might have been sideways, they might have been inside out, but they have never said Jesus Christ doesn't live. Lord, for that, Lord, therein lies our faith, and I pray for Your grace and Your mercy. And Lord, bless her today. And touch her also, Lord, not only in her mind and her life, but Lord, in all that involves her and in her body. Lord, make all the way whole. In Jesus' name. Do something good. Come out with counsel and pray for you since I called your name. In my life. You know, I'm praying for you because some of us, we don't ever get called out in prayer. But we know. In my life.